Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Father, we ask now that as we hear your word, you would glorify yourself by speaking peace to us, and that our hearts would truly be able to rest in your great words of grace and kindness to us in the Lord Jesus. Focus our hearts now, we pray. Open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word, and satisfy us with your goodness. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder who here still reads the news? Little show of hands, who still reads the news? Some, maybe about half. Well, apparently that could be bad for you. Good news. News could be bad for you. There was an article published in the Guardian newspaper 2 years ago, and they said reading the news is bad, which is ironic because they're a newspaper. They had several arguments, and one of their main arguments was that reading the news increases wrong thinking. It dumbs us down. And to help prove what they were saying, they quoted the billionaire Warren Buffett, or Buffet, or however you pronounce his name. Warren Buffett says, "What the human being is best at doing is interpreting all new information so that their prior conclusions remain the same." In other news, we hear the news, we read it or we listen to it, and we think exactly the same thing afterwards. It doesn't change us. It doesn't reach down deep enough into us. And if that's the case, that raises two quite important questions for us. Is there any news still worth hearing, if we won't really listen to it anyway? Is there any news still worth hearing? And secondly, is there any news that can reach down deep enough and change us? Well, the good news of the gospel, the good news of what we've heard this morning is, yes, there is such a news. And we want to look today and see that the news of Jesus Christ is worth hearing, and that it does reach down deep enough to change us. So first of all, news worth hearing. And you've got to admit, this news is worth hearing because of how it comes, how it arrives to us. Imagine you're one of the shepherds. You're staying awake, or trying to stay awake, without caffeine. It's cold, you're tired, You're hoping that tonight no wolf will come along and try and borrow one of your sheep. You're doing the same deadbeat job you've done for the last few weeks, months, maybe even years. And it's tiring. And then suddenly, out of the middle of nowhere, bam, it's like car headlights are suddenly shining in your face. And you kind of try and see something in all of this light that's shining. And what you can just about see is something standing in front of you. Worse still, it's not something, it's someone. Now, as an experienced shepherd, you're used to wolves. You're used to sheep wandering away and trying to. You're even used to people coming and trying to take your sheep from you. What you're not used to are giant angels appearing in the middle of the night, shining on you. Therefore, verse 9 surely isn't a surprise. How do you react? Well, the shepherds were filled with great fear. Now, for some reason, angels are often painted in pieces of art as not very terrifying. The type of thing you might want to have a cuddle with, maybe, but nothing to scare you. That's because the paintings are wrong. What appeared to these hardened shepherds working the night shift was nothing cuddly and cute, but a type of being that could take on the US Air Force and win. The angels of the Bible look scary, threatening, and they've suddenly arrived with all the unexpectedness of a car crash. Boof, and they're there. And we should listen to them. God has not sent his news in a low priority email. He has not said, oh, P.S., by the way, if you've got 5 minutes. He sends angels in the middle of the night to grab the shepherd's attention, because what God has to say is worth listening to. So the first reason why we should listen to his news is how it arrives. It arrives with these angels. The second reason why this news is worth hearing is that it is news for each and every one of us. It's news for you. It's not exclusive insider knowledge limited to a select few. No, actually, this news comes first to those who are on the outside. God speaks to the shepherds, the smelly, the unclean, the dirty, to the type of people who have to work a night shift while everyone else is sleeping. God speaks to those whose names aren't recorded in the history books, to those who are known only by their jobs and not by their names or their family. God speaks to the shepherds. But he doesn't speak to them alone. The message is soon shared, isn't it? So if you look at verse 16, as soon as the angels leave the shepherds, what happens? The shepherds went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. But when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So what do the shepherds do? The first reaction is to run off and tell other people. And not just Mary and Joseph hear about this news. If you look at verse 18, Mary and Joseph had guests. All those who were with Mary and Joseph heard the news. Who were those guests? Well, probably people doing what everyone does when a baby is born in a small town. Visitors. Visitors wanting to go and admire the baby, congratulate the parents. And they too have to hear. Why is this news for everyone? Well, because the angel says it is in verse 10. Behold, good news for all the people. So reason number two to listen to this news is, it is for you. Well, thirdly, this news is worth hearing because it is true. I'm told that during the last big war, people in England used to start reading the newspapers at the back. You would read the sports items first because you knew they were true. And then you'd move to the real news of the day and see how the newspaper was lying to you. Well, this news isn't a lie. This news is true. Luke's told us at the beginning of his gospel, his point in writing this story is to write a true account of what had happened. And we can see that it's true as the story unfolds. And the shepherds find everything as God had promised to them through the angels. They go into Bethlehem. They find a baby exactly as described, lying in a manger. And if you look at the end of the story, the shepherds don't walk away going, well, what a load of rubbish. I mean, we've really been lied to. We came all the way down here for that. No, they return to their sheep, praising God that he had spoken his truth to them. This news is true. Fourthly and finally, this news is worth hearing because it comes from God. I mean, it's a huge step the shepherds take, isn't it? They're committing a great lack of responsibility in just leaving their sheep there on the hills. Wolves could come, thieves could come, the sheep could go off and walk away, and yet the shepherds have left them all. And they're taking an even bigger step in going to Bethlehem. These are stinking, horrible shepherds. Who will open the door to them? Would you, having just given birth, open the door to strange shepherds standing on your doorstep with a story that they had been visited by God? No, you'd slam the door in their face. So what made these shepherds go? They know that God had spoken to them. They know in verse 9 that this angel isn't just any old angel, it's an angel of the Lord. He's God's messenger, God's sent one, sent to announce God's news. They know that the message has come from God. And that's how Luke summarizes it. The Lord has made it known to them. This message comes from God. I wonder if you've ever asked yourself, what would I ask God if I knew he was listening to me? What would I ask God if I knew he was listening to me? It's a really good question. Perhaps a better question, though, is what would God say to me if he knew I was listening? Well, what God said to the shepherds is the same thing that he says to us. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. God's message, his truthful message to us, it's not a philosophy, it's not a program or a principle, it's a person, Jesus Christ. And he is worth listening to. Because of how he is announced in this attention-grabbing way through angels, because this message is for all of us, because it comes as truth, and because it comes from God. Well, if it's news worth hearing, we still haven't dealt with the second question. Can it truly change us? Is there any news that can actually change us, change who we are, make us turn over not just a new leaf, but plant new roots? Is there anything that will break through our skepticism, our fear, our pride? Well, Disney has the answer. And it's not often I get to say this, because usually Disney doesn't have the answer. I don't know if you know the film Frozen. It's brilliant. In the film Frozen, Olaf the snowman helps us find the answer. He says, only an act of true love can melt a frozen heart. Only an act of true love can melt a frozen heart. And he's right. The type of news we need is news of an act of true love. Something that will melt our frozen hearts. Something that will melt our apathy. And as we read this story, clearly that's what happens to some of the people who hear this message. Their hearts are melted. And in fact, as you look at verses 18 to 20, there are three different reactions to this message. But before we look at those reactions, let's just look at this heart-melting news. News that can change us. And it's all there, really, in verses 11 to 14. It's news about a saviour, news about Jesus. Now, I think the reason some people don't like Jesus is they confuse Jesus with Santa. I don't know if you like Santa. I don't. Santa is a horrible person. truly evil. He comes once a year to see if you've been good or bad. He brings presents only for the good and nasty things for the bad. He watches over you like some invisible big brother to see what your outward life is like. But he doesn't take any account or any care of your heart. And then having come once a year, he disappears off, never to be seen of again, to live on his own. Maybe that's how you thought of Jesus. But Jesus is totally different from Santa. Jesus doesn't come to see how we're doing and then reward us appropriately. He doesn't come once and then leaves as quick as he can. Jesus is born as a saviour. Knowing the state of our hearts, he comes to save us. And he comes to stay. Born in the flesh to become one of us all year round, not just at Christmas. See, the thing is, God knows we don't deserve his presence, and so he sends his son to save us. And that's what this good news is all about. This is the news that melts our hearts. The news of God emptying his own love out on us in Jesus Christ. Sending him to be a saviour, a rescuer. Rescuing us from what? Well, from everything. Rescuing us from our blindness to God. Rescuing us from our rejection of God. Rescuing us from our slavery to the things that destroy us. Rescuing us from guilt and judgment. Rescuing us from death. And one day when we see Jesus face to face, rescuing us from all pain and sickness and illness forevermore. And this is wonderful good news for all those who will accept it. It means we don't have to rescue ourselves. I don't know how stressed you found the preparations for Christmas and trying to get all the things done. Well, if that's how stressful it was to prepare a Christmas, how stressful must it be to work out your own salvation, to save yourself? To have that burden sitting on your shoulders, always wondering if enough has been done. Jesus Christ says, I'll take that burden. I will save you. And he's not just Savior alone. If you look at what the angels say in verse 11, he is the Lord as well. Not just Savior, but the Lord. And what does it mean that Christ is Lord? Well, it means that he is king over all the earth. There is not a square inch, either in the mountains or in the desert, in cities or in the jungle, over which Jesus is not king. He is completely Lord of all. Lord over all things, over presidents and terrorists, over media and education, over our dreams and our nightmares. He is in complete control. Just like the sun is shining now on people with eyes to see it and on those whose eyes do not work and they cannot see the sunlight. Well, Jesus Christ is Lord over all, over those who see him and trust him and over those who do not know him yet. And that's good news. But it could sound like bad news, couldn't it? Here is an almighty Lord who cannot be bought or bribed, a God we don't have in our back pocket to do with as we please, an utterly righteous king who lives for the glory of God and not for his own selfish needs, a king over us, but a king we've rejected. And so it should come in breathtaking relief to us that the angel says, fear not. Because he could say, be very, very afraid, the king is coming. But he says, fear not. Because this king doesn't come to end our rebellion in judgment. He comes to offer peace. He comes bringing peace. And saying to us, wooing us, inviting us, commanding us, lay down your empire of self. Lay down your weapons against me. And I will be your peace. I will pardon and welcome you. I will pay off all your war crimes against you. I will be your most committed and loving king. I will be your Lord. This king not only comes to save his people from sin, he comes to lead them and guard them, protect them and keep them, to fight for them as their champion, to put us in his unshakable kingdom, where not even death can touch us again. And this is really the king we all want. This is good news we all want. We all want someone in this chaotic world to whom we can belong to. Someone who will watch over us and protect us. Someone who will make sure that we can go to sleep in safety each night. Someone who will look us in the eyes and say, without lying, everything will be okay. And so often we try and find this person who will take on this role as one of our friends or maybe as a spouse. And we overburden our relationships, expecting more than this person can deliver, hoping that they will be our rock, our unchanging support. But what they cannot do in carrying our world on their shoulders, Jesus can do, because the world was meant to rest on Jesus' shoulders. And so here is good news of a king over us, and for all who trust him, a king no longer against us, but for us. So if you feel like your life is out of control this morning, it really isn't if you're trusting Jesus. He holds everything in his hands. But what then is promised to those who turn and put their trust in Jesus? Well, it's what the angels say in that great heavenly chorus in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace with God. That's what Jesus brings. Not just the absence of night, the absence of terror of God's displeasure. Peace. The full sunshine of God's smile upon us. The full sunshine of God's promise of love to us. Peace, the news that God is pleased with all those who trust in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to know that God Almighty says, yes, I am pleased with you if you are in my Son? Well, news this good always brings forth a reaction. So how did the people in the story respond? Well, let's look at verses 18 to 20 and see the reactions. It starts off, I guess, with the guests in verse 18. We don't know much about their reaction. We do know that they were amazed. We don't know whether they believed in Jesus or not. We know they didn't ignore the message. And that should challenge us, because none of these eyewitnesses of what is going on ignore the Lord Jesus. He commands a reaction from all of them. And then, if that's the guests, the untold guests in the house, verse 19 gives us the next person's reaction, Mary. She goes a step further than her guests. We see she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. See, Mary is moved beyond amazement. She can't forget what she has heard. She might not understand everything, but she knows this is good news for her. And so she keeps thinking on these things. She treasures this news in her heart. And maybe that's where you are this morning. I don't know all of you. Maybe that's where you are this morning, thinking this through, treasuring this and pondering this. Well, if that's the case, at the back there's a table with free gospels on, biographies of Jesus, his life and his death. Why not take one? Take one home for free and find out whether Jesus is telling the truth and whether his news is worth listening to. And finally, there's the reaction of the shepherds, isn't there? They return to their sheep. Believing in Jesus hasn't changed their circumstances. They still have to guard sheep at 3 a.m. in the morning. But they're new people. Like Martin talked about earlier, they're not grumbling at going back. They are full of holy joy. Verse 20 says, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So what changed the shepherds? What melted their hearts to give them such joy as they headed back to the banality of a night shift, of stress at home, of broken relationships, of all the things, all the pains and complications that life brings? What gave them such boldness to glorify and praise God? What will keep you praising God when next week or in January you head back to work. Well, they had heard the news of Jesus Christ and they'd seen him and met him and they put their faith in him. That's the good news worth hearing this Christmas and every day. News that can change our hearts, of a joy that does not run away from us, fleeing us, but runs after us, catches us and lays hold of us. God has given us a Saviour and a Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's praise him together now in prayer. Jesus Christ, we worship you and adore you, that you would come not as a Santa to judge our external deeds and then reward the good and punish the bad, but that you would come to save the totally bad. We praise you for your great love. We praise you that you came not just to save us from sin, but to be our Lord and King, to rule over us and rule for us, working all things for our good. We praise you that you bring us peace. Peace with God, peace with one another, peace in our hearts. And we praise you that you, in living and dying, did all things for the glory of your Father. Please, by your Spirit, call our hearts out to love you, trust you and worship you this day and all our days, until we see you face to face and joy spreads out over our hearts for all eternity. Amen.